So, again, just as a show of hands, who was able to get through the two messages this time? Okay. I'm not going to review the messages because of limited time. I'm going to get right to sharing some testimonies. So good, solid messages, and I'm glad, right in the midst of talking about gifts and operations, you're just hitting this platform of love and character, you know. And we heard the same thing last Easter when we went through 1 Corinthians. We did a really good job on focusing on that aspect of it. The one piece I'm going to pull out from there is he grabs a list of the different gifts that are given, says this is not complete, it's not suggested to be complete. But I never caught the one in Peter. There's a scripture in 1 Peter 4, I think, and it's two verses, and pretty much he says, let those who have speaking gifts speak, let those who have serving gifts serve. And so Sam Storms pulls off of that, in two categories, speaking gifts and then serving gifts, which was interesting because I had to take a step back. When we had this class, I don't think most of us were signing up for, all right, I really want to grow in administration. I would just love to have the gift of mercy. I mean, we don't not want those things, but I think even as we're coming in, our framework is speaking gifts rather than serving gifts. Mm. And at best, it's probably half of gifts. Now, some are probably saying, I want to come in, but what I've been focusing on and my burden is that we have a speaking God who does speak and wants to speak through his people. He wants to love through his people, mercy through his people, energize through his people. But it's that speaking aspect I think we have focused on in this ministry. And I'm thinking that even in recognition of serving gifts, I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit highlights through speaking gifts, those serving gifts that are present among us, all right? Here's my passion, is simply that we have a speaking God who does speak, and encourage that within us and fan that flame. So what I wanted to start off with was just sharing some of the testimonies that have been happening, not only in this class, but outside of this class over the course of a few weeks. So Steve Wilber's not here yet. All right. So I'm going to go back and start with this one. Five of us, so Andy McPhillips, Josh Luter, Steve Wilber, myself, there was somebody else I think in the group, were praying. And what we did, recognize what I was trying to do as a focus, we just, who in here wants prayer? And Steve says, hey, I want prayer. What do you want prayer for? Well, I'm thinking of changing jobs at work. I've been in the government for a long time, still plan to be in the government. I just want to get into a different department, pray God lead us. And so I said, let's pray. Now, as a leader, I purposely stepped back. I just wanted to see what God's doing. And both Josh and Andy ended up praying, and they prayed prayers that I'm sitting there going, what they said was, Lord, there was prayers for relational healing, and then I think it was Josh who actually said, let not the smoke of past relationships affect the new job. And I'm just, okay, wait a second, the time out. There was nothing that Steve mentioned about relational problems, and both of you guys have just gone there. Steve, does that resonate? And Steve's like, yeah, that's the problem. I mean, I'm there at work and stuff like that. And so we prayed into that very specifically. Last Sunday, I caught Steve, and he came in, and so talk to me. Anything happened? He said, well, awesome. That's what I was wishing Steve was here, and he made you come. I walked in Monday, leaning into what these guys had said, and right away, because my problem is not with superiors or people under me, it is those who are my peers. And in the government, there is this trying to claw up, and he has been taking a stand of, listen, these are people, and we want to care for them as people. And he says they've gone cliquish, and he's kind of like been ostracized. and he saw this one guy come in who he has a lot of problems with. And he stepped down in faith as a result of prayer and said, "Hey, I'm going down to get some coffee. Can I get one for you?" He said, "I'll actually come down with you." And they went down and had coffee together. And in his reaching out with this olive branch, the other guy reached out with an olive branch. And there was this all of a sudden this meeting of two relationships. And he was just really excited about that. All right, so that's really cool. I'm just like, awesome. So what I'm trying to do is grab these little things because they're real. And they're the things that we continue to fan on and encourage our faith. I did want to get an update from Maria, if she was here, just as far as how her back was doing. Just be curious. We already shared Susan's testimony, and I just love that because it was simple, clear. It was just coming out from Susan and things she couldn't know. Other things that have happened in prayer over the past couple weeks here.
So I went to the youth retreat for Sunday night, and I was kind of, I wouldn't say I was spiritually leaning yet. And I got there, and I was supposed to share, and I didn't know what I was going to share on. And Steve called me over to pray with him and Dave Hartman. They were walking around the building praying for the meeting, and I joined them. And as they were praying, and particularly Dave Hartman praying, I felt like this incredible wave of like bold faith come. And like, where'd that come from? I wasn't coming in with that. And I had the faith to share. I felt like God would share your testimony, and so that's what I did. And but later on, as we were praying, there was a particular guy.
Real quick there. So Yvonne's testimony, she's saying to Dave, "Listen, I'm another pug speaker," and it's like, "Hey, just go for it." And so they're given a 10-minute spotlight, and I kept mine down to 3.5, so Yvonne could have 6.5. She nailed it. It was tempo, tenor, the pieces, the emotion. Dave Hartman said, like, every girl in the place was just, like, leaning forward, you know. It was just one of those that, like, the Holy Spirit just came in and gave her words and connections and everything, and it was just, it was amazing. Like, I'd never heard or seen her do before, so continue.
So one of the guys that was there, actually a parent, or no, yeah, maybe a parent, he kind of said, I could connect with certain parts of your testimony, and because we're both raised Catholic. Anyway, he's one that would have extreme social anxiety and has a hard time even staying in that room. And I said, "Well, can I pray for you? And could we pray together about what you just shared?" And so I did. And as I was praying, I felt like my left hand got like extremely hot, and it was like felt like it was on fire. And it was different from my right hand, so I knew it wasn't just, you know, hormones. But it was my left hand was extremely hot, the one that was kind of towards his shoulder, and I saw him visibly go through these waves of just like deep breathing, and then just like complete like sighs that were just like exhaling, like I don't know what, but he was just going into some kind of deep peace, deep letting go of things. You just visibly see it. And so that was a really interesting experience. And then I was praying for another girl there on the worship team people. And she, same experience. The hand that I had that was praying for her just got extremely hot. And I wasn't touching her. It was like there was a distance, you know. So it was just an experience. I mean, that has happened to me in the past, like years ago. I haven't had, you know, a recent experience of something like that. So it was just encouraging, I guess. And also it kind of spoke to me of God can even use a reluctant Jonah type person, you know what I mean, who's kind of coming in like, not really, like I said, leaning in and things. And so I was grateful. God was, you know, showing me his mercy and care despite myself.
Amen.
This makes me happy with me when I come to this class. I don't pick a month, but when I go home, I try to in quiet time, let the Holy Spirit bring me up to date kind of thing. But I did notice something the last meeting that was someone needed to be prayer for. I just want to remind everyone that anytime you think you have a problem, that really is a lie. Satan will put thoughts in our mind, making them think that we do have a problem, that we just, no, there's no condemnation to Christ Jesus. We are perfectly made. We're all good looking. God created us in His image, therefore we're all good looking. That's a fact. While Satan's trying to put a thought in our mind, thinking that we have a problem, and trying to figure it out, he put the hook on us. That is a big lie, and we have to be careful about that. Don't cooperate with the lie if you have a problem. I would say to myself, big deal, I'm the best, not you. I have Christ, not you. It's not my problem, your problem. Yeah. That could be a lie. So I would have figured something because it's been with me all week. Oh, wow. And since we are the best with Christ in us, there's nothing wrong with getting better as time goes on. Build your strength, because that will build up your spirit in a way we can make a more sensitive knowing that what's true, what's not true, you see? Mm-hmm. So because Satan walks around like a lion trying to get you, he has no teeth, he can't get you. Mm-hmm. Only time Satan was allowed to go to God is when Adam gave up everything. That's why Job had a problem. But now Satan cannot, under any circumstance, go to the court of the Lord. He's out. He's finished. Everything else is a lie. I mean, we are taken care of. That's, well, I may pick it up, okay? I'm sorry to pick it up if I'm taking some time, but for your information, okay?
Thanks, Frank. One thing I think practically we draw out from what you just shared is, you know, in all this, what we're doing is we're not coming with ourselves. We are trying to step out in the Holy Spirit, okay? We're trying to lean on the Holy Spirit gifts. And so our worth and assessment is not the primary factor. But there's this question, as we step out and do things, is this God or is this not? And there's this very simple thing, like, you know what? I'm sensing this. Can I just share it with you? If it's good, great. If not, please just drop it. Because recognize, you know, even if we're doing great, even if we're hitting 60%, you know, which is a great batting average, you know, we're still missing it a bunch. But that's where you just lean forward and you just try. So, how's the back doing? You still at 10%?
That's definitely better.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Awesome. Not 100%, but much better.
Okay. You give us a gauge, 20, 30?
Yeah, I would say, gosh, I'm probably like, I don't know, 60% better. That's what it said, 15%, so yeah.
Wow.
That's good. That can be.
Okay. That's great. So let's keep praying that.
Yeah, thank
that's
you.
Just very encouraging.
Yeah.
Good, good. Mm-hmm. Other testimonies, just as far as prayer and encouraging one another. Tayo.
Last time I asked for prayer in our group. I'm planning to retire in December, so I'm still waiting on the Lord what to do, what God wants me to do after retirement. And the Lord people pray for me just as my led by the Holy Spirit. Then the Lord gave me a word that was really, really, you know, very comforting and assuring to me. But I couldn't even catch it up when I was trying to write, so I had to send her a text and say, "Well, can you remember what the Lord told you? I'm trying to, you know, put it down just for my own, you know, to go back to God. And this is what you told me." And I just want to read what my sister shared with me. Honestly, has really stayed with me, and I'm going to stay with me for the rest of my life. Said, "For such a time as this, have I not called you my son, known you, walked with you, been with you? You're already serving me full time. I'm calling you to a deeper intimacy with me. You do not need to strive. I will lead and guide you." Wow. I mean, I was in the third heavens that day. So I just thank God for that. It couldn't be clearer.
Yes.
Yes, God. It's a speaking God.
Yes. Catch part of what Tayo's grabbing on to. What the Holy Spirit's often doing is not so much like you have this incredibly original thought that nobody's thought before. It is a time and a place for this person. And so don't let that hold you back where it sounds simple. Because simple at this moment, you know, to this person is spectacular.
Right.
And so, you know, just to encourage us, you know, just to step out. Good. Others. Mary Pat.
So this is not directly from the class, but I think absolutely indirectly from what God's doing, just stirring up gifts. So Jim and I teach Esau, and several weeks ago, at the very end of class, we speak just the word of God. Just we have 5 minutes just to speak to the class. It was about Jesus being the word of life. But what I said to them was that God knows everything about you. After class, one of the young men just stopped us and wanted to talk and tell us about some horrendous things that had happened to him as a child and then growing up with his father. And he had prayed that during class, he had left a note for what he wanted prayer for during the week, which was that he and his wife would conceive. So what he said to us was that as he spoke, just this explosive or just this release occurred within him just by sharing. I mean, Jim and I talked some, but it was mostly just his sharing. So what I'm understanding is that this word of God just touched him. He just gave this release to speak what had been held so deeply inside. But I do believe that he and his wife will conceive, that the fears that he had from his father, so he said, I'm afraid that I will become like my father. Mm-hmm. So that fear just is released.
Yes.
And they will conceive, that he will never be that father.
That's right.
That his father has been.
Amen. Awesome. Great. Brandon.
I want to start by sharing something I've been learning from the class, which is just trying to step out in faith. And one of the ways I did that recently is Charity and I celebrated our 11th anniversary. And we went to the Renaissance Festival in Crownsville, Maryland, and pretty much had scheduled the date. Charity looked at the calendar the previous week and said it was just going to rain all that day. And, you know, I did just listen to the message on praying in faith, and I was like, well, I'm going to pray against rain. This is great. So I did. And I just, for whatever reason, I had a lot of faith that God wanted me to pray for this, like no rain and stuff. As we're getting closer to the day and going, you know, of course, this is literally at the same time Hurricane Ian is coming through, and we're supposed to get with like 4 or 5 days of rain. Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, this is gonna be interesting, but I'm still in faith to pray. Mm. So I move forward in prayer and just pray against rain for our trip. And we went with Sean Mayo, and it rained the whole time. And so I want to make sure that because I don't know, for whatever reason, I was just still very much in faith the whole day. We had an amazing time. And I didn't feel like it actually rained that hard. Maybe it was a lighter rain, I don't know. But I just want to share that because, you know, like it doesn't always, like Dad said, you know, 60% of the time if we're hitting on point, then great.
I think that the main point off of that was, even though it was raining, the attitudes were sunny.
That's good.
Right? It wasn't,
yep, for
sure. Didn't ruin the day because you buy the tickets a month in advance. You can't predict the weather. You have to set up sitters 6 months in advance for 4 kids. So, you know, we were really locked into that date and committed to it. But the spirit of the day wasn't diminished by the weather.
Yeah. It ended up being a wonderful time. But I just wanted to share that with you guys. Like, sometimes you'll have faith to do something, and Like sometimes it won't happen.
Yeah.
Just to jump off that, one more story.
Yeah.
I'll try to make it quick. I was going to a training with work coworkers, and there was a guy. Basically, on their way to the training, we had passed a burnt out car. It looked just looked like it was charred and ashes, and traffic had slowed down and everything like that. And we texted a picture to the other coworkers in the group, and one of the coworkers of mine that was driving separate, that had kind of gotten up there a little bit earlier before us, he texted back and he's like, "Oh my gosh, I was actually there for that accident." Mm-hmm. He said, I was driving on 495 and there was this car and it was just on fire. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy in the driver's seat, and when he saw it, he was like there as it was happening. So he went to kind of try to pull over, you know, kind of in front of the car, about 30 yards up from the car to, I don't know, he just like, I just didn't know what to do. I just wanted to pull over and wanted to help this guy if I could. And he said another guy apparently had somehow pulled over and just ran past his car and got to this guy's car that was on fire and pulled the guy out of the car. And so my coworker's name is Dean, who actually saw all this happen. So he was sharing this with us at one point. I was really affected by the message of prophetic word and words of wisdom. And and then after listening to that message, I just kept thinking about my coworker, Dean. And this happened, listening to the message, this was like a couple weeks after this, but I just kept thinking about my coworker, Dean, in that car on fire. And even though he wasn't the one, he was the one that was pulling over, I just kept thinking about him in that car on fire. And almost had an image of me wanting to pull over to help him, but not knowing necessarily what to do. And a guy in white running past me and pulling him out of the car as it was on fire. And like, so I'm going into work thinking about this and like, well, you know, I'm probably not gonna see him today because, you know, we only go, you know, everybody's in their own groups and everybody has their own group that goes once a week to get extra training. And so he's probably not gonna be at the office today. Sure enough, I get to the office and he's there and I'm like, well, do I share this with him? You know, like, I don't, you know, he's not a Christian, someone that's kind of spiritually open. And so I just decided to share with him. And I was like, look, I don't know if you're, you know, you know, I shared with him what I saw and the guy that running past me and just told him, like, I knew that it was Jesus. Mm-hmm. That wanted to pull him out of his car that was on fire, but I didn't know if it was like his life is on fire or if his spiritual life is on fire or what. But I just shared it with him. I was like, I could be wrong about this. He was very, very grateful, very open and receptive. I think he kind of took it a different way than I initially kind of shared it. He's like, yeah, I'm going through a lot. I'm about to have a baby. But it was to just know that, like, I felt like God wanted me to share this and he was accepting of this. And I felt like I did the right thing by, you know, just letting him know, hey, sometimes God speaks to me and just, you know, this is what I think he wants me to share with you. So.
Well done. Good job, man. Awesome. Bumby.
Yeah, I just want to quickly share about the impact of the messages that you have us listen to week by week. And for this week, we had to listen to two. And just what came out to me was the pastoral heart of Sam Storms in the two messages. And the first one in particular, I was particularly encouraged because it put into categories things we don't normally put into categories. Like the gift of intercession and the possibility of dreams also being a gift, using the Old Testament as the basis for his conclusion on that. And I went on a walk when I was listening to that first message, And I was so affected. I actually was crying because I think he focused on how some of these things are not seen, but God sees them, and the encouragement to persevere and endure and keep, you know, using those gifts for the glory of God. So I wanted to share that it's not just within the class here, but also in listening to those messages, things that need to be polished and sharpened in terms of how we think of spiritual gifts. You know, when those things are sharpened and we have clarity on them, we can actually be more effective and more settled, you know, and content in where God has placed us and in the things that he has given us for his glory.
Excellent. I get to pray with Fumbi on a regular basis, and one that I've actually got started to do this with several of them. When we're doing Wednesday night prayer, we're doing it by Zoom, and there's certain people that share a scripture, I write it down, because the scriptures are so on point, timely, right to the heart of something, you know? And it's just like, wow, this is like, you know? So again, a category, you know, there could be a scripture that God gives to your mind, and it's just like, okay, well, it's just a scripture, and it seems to line up with the topic. But there are times and places where that is, you know, the arrow, you know, like right in there. Jim.
Yeah, I was really encouraged by Sam Storm's first talk about that we have the Holy Spirit permanently, and we have gifts permanently. And I was really struck by the fact that don't put necessarily limitations on what those gifts are. There may be gifts that we haven't even identified that emanate from a person. So I was just saying, God, you know, I don't even know. Maybe how somebody smiles is a gift of the Spirit, or how somebody welcomes is a gift of the Spirit. I don't know, but, you know, let's not put limits. And then the other thought I had for today, or for our getting together, a word incubation came to mind, that, you know, just we're incubating the gifts of the Spirit. There's an incubation of the Holy Spirit being birthed in or incubated in or whatever in what's going on here. So anyway, just excited about that.
Thanks for hitting that topic. Jim's one of those people who it's pictures. And they're just really, I'm trying to remember the one from yesterday morning you shared. Do you remember it?
I did remember the sense about praying with your wives as being so important. I mean, that's what hammered to me. I try to remember.
Yeah.
Oil.
Yes.
Praying for oil in relationships.
One of the guys there, you know, so a regular theme is some of the dads praying for their sons. Yeah. Okay. And there is one, and there is this greeting, and, you know, and he was even confessing that morning that his personality sometimes can be frictional. He can come in and attack. And Jim just had that whole word about, oh, what I thought was really cool. Yeah. This guy is a major biker, regular bike, oil. And Jim just, you know, this picture of oil, and you know what it does on gears.
Yeah.
And if it's not there, how the grating is, but if it is, how it's moving and stuff like that. And yeah, almost had to be there in the moment. I was like, this is like awesome. Like, you know, boom. I like the nuances. So Chip had actually, I reached out to Roger Dillon and Chip just thanks for their prayers for my family, because I've always felt their love and stuff like that. And Chip responded with an email that I was like, I was surprised at how on point prophetic it was about Brandon. And I've actually got the phraseology. So I was asking Chip, like, okay, like, what gift is this? You know, discernment, you know, is this? And what Chip ended up sharing was he finds that when he's writing, there are certain times as he's writing, there's an incredible clarity, clearness that just seems to come. Anything else you want to elaborate there, Chip?
Yeah, I think it, you know, God works in us. We work out what God is working in us. And part of the working out, some of us is working with our hands, some of us is doing things interrelationally. For me, I live in a world of words and ideas as a lawyer. And so I find that I don't necessarily, I often don't know as I sit down to, whether it's writing a brief or it's writing a birthday card, I need to start the process of writing and let God edit it. And it's often, you know, don't do the editing first, just get the words out. Let God edit it and go back to it. And so, you know, just, I love Brandon and just what he was sharing, he and Charity were sharing earlier. What struck me is they had a faith, not that it wouldn't rain as much as God is good. And I can pray to a good God for something that I think is good. And the reality that they were not grasping onto their definition of God's goodness is they had a great time in the rain.
Yes.
And I think what God is after, John 6, is the work of the disciple is to believe. It is faith. Faith in what? Faith not that it's not going to rain or I'm going to have things my way, but faith in the goodness, the faithfulness of God. So I appreciate that illustration that he gave. One thing that occurred to me as you're talking about it, very simple, but it's always profound when God speaks. I'm thinking of the building we're in now. We moved in the spring. We've been in the same building in Tyson's Corner for 3 decades, and we had to move. And Kathy and I trooped around with our broker, saw 7 different buildings. That was on a Tuesday. I had all these brochures and information with buildings and stuff and office space. And so I'm praying over these 7 brochures or these 7 offices, and a name starts coming to mind of a fellow attorney I haven't seen for 5 years. And put that out, I've got to go through these buildings. So it got to the point where I couldn't continue looking at all these building brochures without sending an email. I said, Eddie, you know, hope you're doing well. I haven't talked for a while. I'm looking at these brochures on a building. We need, you know, X thousand square feet of space, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, so I sent him a 1 or 2 paragraph email, pretty short. I expected I'd never hear from him. An hour and a half later, I get a call back. I get an email back from him saying, this is really interesting timing because our lease comes up in November, ours came up in March. And he said, I walked through this space, I'm thinking, with the people who retired and COVID and all of the stuff that's happening, we need X less space, which happened to be the exact figure that I had given him of the space we needed. So now we have this wonderful office sharing space I love going to on the other side of Tyson's Corner with Eddie Eisler and the Eisler Dare firm, with firms, 14 attorneys each, are pretty similar boutique firms, different areas, we work well together. It's just amazing that God, you know, just a tiny word and just to pivot on that. And so even in something as mundane as office space, God is into that, you know? God is into loving us. I mean, I feel the love of God every time I walk into the building.